It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The affordable healthcare marketplace opened yesterday, offering options for medical coverage to people who may have never been able to afford it in the past. As more people start to receive routine doctor's visits and medications, communication and trust between patients and medical professionals will be more important than ever. The Regional Health Literacy Coalition is a project of the University of Pittsburgh Institute of Politics focused on helping healthcare providers and patients in the Pittsburgh region find ways to better understand each other. I'm joined now in Studio A by Kevin Progar, project manager for the Regional Health Literacy Coalition. Kevin Progar, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
And joining us by phone for this segment, the Reverend Sally Jo Snyder, Director of Advocacy and Consumer Engagement with the Consumer Health Coalition. First question I'll pose to you, Kevin Progar. What is health literacy?
So health literacy is kind of a complicated subject. It works both at a public health level and a personal individual level. By definition, the CDC describes health literacy as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and the services needed to make appropriate decisions. So that could be a range of topics from knowing how to read nutrition facts on a label, because that can come in for managing conditions such as high blood pressure, to pretty intense prescription plans, all the way down to just knowing when to make visits and follow up with your doctor when necessary.
And let's bring Reverend Sally Jo Snyder into the conversation, joining us by phone. Thanks for joining us, Reverend Snyder.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We're talking on this issue of health literacy, and somebody out there listening might say, why is this a problem? How would you explain it?
Well, I think it's a lot of problem because folks aren't getting the type of quality care they need when they're not able to fully understand and feel engaged and part of the process. I think what we want to get to is really kind of a mutual partnership where patients, consumers are engaged, they're empowered, and they're involved. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, we have instance after instance when someone didn't understand what was said to them, didn't feel empowered to ask the question, went and had multiplicity of tests because they didn't know to ask why and to follow up, issues of not taking medication properly because, quite frankly, they didn't understand how to take it or how often to take it. There's a lot of issues like that due to a lack of health literacy that impact a person's overall quality of care.
And when the things that you just described, when they happen, what is the impact on patients and what is the impact on healthcare providers?
Well, I think from the patient perspective, it's incredible. I mean, first and foremost, they're not getting the quality of health. If you're not taking the medication properly, there's a whole lot of factors. It's simply not going to do what the medication is supposed to do. Then, you know, down the road, too, I think with patients, you also the trust factor limits, and they simply feel frustrated. They don't feel part of the process, and quite frankly, that results in them then not seeking care and not going to get proper care. And I think it just creates a whole host of issues and problems. And when there is that type of disconnect, I think the whole system runs into some significant barriers and hurdles.
Kevin, how would you assess the magnitude of this problem?
It's quite large. I mean, according to some of the initial research findings from going back to the early 2000s, it's estimated almost 90% of Americans have some degree of health literacy challenge. And then again, going back to that personal level and system level impact, the costs are anywhere – or people with low health literacy pay almost on average $10,000 more for healthcare a year, regardless of who the payer is, if they're a Medicaid.
So in other words, if you're not understanding, if there's not strong communication between the patient and the doctor, it's costing a patient $10,000 more than they would otherwise.
Or the payer, I mean, if they're on Medicare.
Right.
And so system-wide, the best estimate we have is about $238 billion annually in the United States.
So this is about not only helping the healthcare, the patients, but it's also about the healthcare providers and ultimately the system, because if the system is performing more efficiently, then it's simply going to run better.
That's exactly the point. So that's why we're working with groups like Sally's, the Consumer Health Coalition, and other larger medical systems and insurance to find where that middle ground is so we can get consumers in dialogues with providers that build that understanding.
And Reverend Snyder, this is obviously a very fluid situation. Our healthcare system in the United States is evolving. and will continue to evolve as tweaks are made to the Affordable Care Act. And again, the marketplaces went live yesterday. So as you work through this evolution, who tends to be susceptible to these communication problems? And is it different now than it was, say, before October 1st, before yesterday?
I think it's the problem's been there. And I think in terms of who it is a lot of people, folks who are lower education levels overall, lower literacy levels, folks who come in there with high instances of poverty, folks with at times some chronic conditions, folks with living with disabilities that come in with some lower literacy levels to begin with, and also come in really never feeling a part or engaged and involved in our work is to, I think, twofold. One, to really empower and educate and involve that patient, that consumer voice, and two, to create then the dialogue and the relationship working with the providers to make it a really a team approach, to be honest. I mean, one of the lines we use all the times in our trainings is to our folks to say, you're the MVP of your healthcare team. And when you list all the members of your healthcare team, and you can go down with all your doctors, your pharmacists, your providers, the most valuable player on that is you, and to give them that sense of empowerment and to really engage in that team approach working with the provider.
So now that we've looked at what the problem is and explained what the problem is and the magnitude of the problem, there's the question of why the problem has existed. Do we know what has caused this disconnect? Why it seems like an obvious thing to pay some attention to it, and yet clearly the ball has been dropped along the line somewhere by someone. So why has it happened, Kevin or Sally?
No, I'm sorry. Feel free to take the first shot at that.
Okay. I think part of it was a lot of a system that at times wasn't the most patient-centered system we've ever built. I think part of it was not doing a good job from having patients be involved in their own education and really connecting in and having their overall health care be a very strong team-ordered approach. I think there was I think those factors were two that played in. I'll take that first crack. Kevin, if you want to move me to second base, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, another part is the way that doctors or way patients approach doctors. So there's a certain reverence that people have that's the medical authority. I need to do exactly what he does. So in some cases, it's actually the fact that somebody is so trusting of their doctor that becomes an issue because they might see more than one doctor. Again, going back to needing a specialist, like mm-hmm. a heart specialist or anything like that, they might recommend something that is contrary to your primary care doctor's prescriptions, and then you run into challenges there.
And this is getting into, I guess, patient psychology, but let me run this by the two of you. Is there maybe some avoidance issues going on here where the same reason that someone may not want to get a second opinion is just that, okay, you know, I was wincing as I was hearing what the explanation was that I was afraid to hear for whatever health problem I'm having is occurring. And now that I've gotten some explanation, I'm just going to be satisfied with that because maybe I just can't handle knowing more at this point or seeking out more information.
I think just to play off a little bit on what Kevin said was there is that, you know, how we view medical providers. And I do think it's a spectrum. It's either, you know, the wings of the angels brush against them. They're so close to the divine. And whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do. And we have instance after instance of folks, you know, kind of feeling it wasn't the right thing to do and then saying that line, but the doctor told me to do it. And we want to get to the point where we're engaged in having conversation and really working as a team approach to what the best manner of care is. And on the opposite end of the spectrum is people who have either themselves or a family member have been thought to be done wrong, and there is no way they're going to go. We want to get to the point of really empowering our folks, for example, to come in with, you know, a list of three questions. You walk into every medical appointment with at least three questions that you're going to have answered that day. Things like if you're having a test and it's a test to potentially something serious. And when we do our trainings with folks, we ask them, here's the scenario. You're going to have these results in a week. A week comes and you don't have the result. Do you do A, well, no news is good news, must be good, or do you pick up the phone and call? And it's that creating a sense of empowerment. You pick up the phone and call. And also with that individual empowerment is also the broader support system of mentors and colleagues and friends that help to get this through. And it's really, a two-way street of empowering and educating and involving the consumer, and at the same time creating that understanding and openness for the provider to engage the consumer as well, to create a much more patient-centered, more team approach to overall health care.
But clearly what you're saying, Reverend Snyder, is that the patient has to feel empowered to act on his or her own behalf.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a big part of me. Part of being proactive is really that sense is, we tell our folks, get there 15 minutes early, come ready, have your updated medication list, have your three questions, come ready to go. If it's a significant, a lot of folks want to bring a buddy, pick the right person, bring someone with you, have that piece of paper and a pencil and be ready to be engaged. And, we have a proactive patient guide and we do these trainings. And my favorite question in the whole guidebook is for folks to say to someone, when a doctor is giving you a diagnosis or a treatment plan and either speaking quickly and saying in language, triple word score words that they're not understanding, is simply to ask, can you explain it to me in a way that I can explain it to my friends and family? And that's kind of the thing we want to get in creating that dialogue and that team approach and that relationship.
Absolutely. And piggybacking on that team approach at the Regional Health Literacy Coalition, we managed to bring together people from the different disciplines, from the doctors and providers, and we've assembled a toolkit for some different ways that patients can engage with the doctor. But then also we have a strong feeling that the healthcare providers really need to do more in addressing this, and it's their job to make patients feel comfortable. And one of the best things we found for doing that is something called the teach-back method, where, to Sally's point, doctors often speak about complex conditions with complex language. So to bring that down to a normal level of understanding, the doctor might say, I don't know if I did a very good job explaining that to you. Could you repeat it back to me in your own words? And through that kind of exchange and dialogue, once the providers are engaged in that, then the consumer can feel more free to speak, and it kind of breaks down those barriers we mentioned.
We're talking about the issue of communication and trust between patients and medical professionals and how to improve it. Our guests here on the program today, joining me in Studio A, is Kevin Progar. He is project manager for the Regional Health Literacy Coalition. And also with us by phone is the Reverend Sally Jo Snyder, director of advocacy and consumer engagement with the Consumer Health Coalition. We've been talking a lot about the changes that have been that are being brought to the healthcare system in the United States by the Affordable Care Act. Again, yesterday, the healthcare marketplace is going live. With these changes happening, I'll throw this question out to either of you. With these changes happening, do you see any of these elements that are being introduced improving or creating an atmosphere in which there can be improved communication between doctors and patients?
Ultimately, I think so, because it's one of those things where health literacy and issues around this aren't specifically legislated. There isn't any active language in it. But in setting up the healthcare marketplaces, the government has used its own guidelines given by the Plain Language Act of 2010, which is something we look at as a guiding model for how providers should communicate to patients in presenting health plans across that marketplace.
Sally Joe?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that what Kevin said is spot on. And the fact, too, of people then being able to access care and to get coverage and to have a primary care physician and that whole piece, I think, is a significant piece, no matter, how this shakes down. So absolutely, and to, be engaged with the provider in that kind of that patient-centered model that we're going after, I think that's going to improve and play out significantly as we move forward in the work we're doing around this.
We're coming toward the end of this segment, but before we wrap up, any other approaches that either of you would like to mention that are being taken to address the problem with healthcare providers and with patients?
Well, I just want to mention that we do have a website coming out in the middle of the month, October 16th. It's healthyunderstanding.org. And that's one place where we're trying to show both patients and providers those tools they're using. And we'd have to come back and kind of bring our different coalition members to really get into that fully, what all those different approaches are.
Reverend Snyder, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, just to throw in, I mean, we're continue to do at the Consumer Health Coalition. We do proactive patient trainings on how to be the most valuable player of your healthcare team. Actually, I'm up in Butler today doing one of those, hence why I'm on the phone. So we do those as well. We have an event coming up on the 18th of October. It's a Friday out at the Class Center, where it's going to be an event to start to have conversation between providers, and it's targeted with people with disabilities sitting down to improve that communication. So you can check our website out for these trainings and events that are coming up, and that's consumerhealthcoalition.org.
Go ahead, Kevin.
And also, I just want to put it out there for any providers that might be listening or community groups, that we will be having a symposium on October 16th entitled Health Literacy, Public Health, Our Health, where we're bringing in some national experts to dive more deeply into this issue.
Clearly, it's a good time to be discussing this, and you both have put some information out there. We will have a link to information at our website at wesa.fm, so people wanting to find out more, learn more about some of the efforts that you are both undertaking, again, can learn more at our website at wesa.fm. We've been talking about better communication and trust between patients and medical professionals, and I want to thank both of our guests joining us in Studio A, Kevin Progar, Project Manager for the Regional Health Literacy Coalition. Kevin Progar, again, thank you for being with us.
I appreciate the opportunity.
And the Reverend Sally Jo Snyder, Director of Advocacy and Consumer Engagement with the Consumer Health Coalition. Reverend Snyder, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and hey, everyone, let's go Bucks.
That is a good medicine, I think, for just about anybody in Pittsburgh these days. Up next, artists from around the country are painting the town. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.